Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Jazz Clippers, today's Discover Card Key matchup. They're playing tonight. I think I may just watch that. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned into your first year, cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cashback match only at Discover. Discover something brighter. Okay, we got big NFL news happening. Joy will get to it in a second. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's start with Zion Williamson, who led the Pelicans with 31 points and made 13 of his 16 shots in their 144-113 win over the Grizzlies last night. And he also saved his place in history books in the process. He's the only player in league history to average at least 23 points with a 60% or better field goal percentage through his first 50 games in the NBA.
Now that's interesting.
Making an impact.
I would have thought Wilt or Kareem. That's interesting. I am shocked that he's the only guy to do that.
Well, he doesn't have any problem getting to the basket, obviously, and he's clearly worked on his game. Now, he still has, obviously, a lot of developing to do, but I like watching this game last night because it really feels like the future, the young stars of the NBA and Ja Morant and Zion Williamson. Now, the Pelicans are 12-15. Obviously, they need some more pieces and a little bit more time, but he did have 31, 7-6. Like, he's been very consistent and, you know, is playing more minutes, and, you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Zion. He's just so fun to watch. He's just a constant highlight reel.
Yeah, he's conflict at the rim guy, and in an NBA that's increasingly a jump-shooting league, he is one of the few guys. There's a little Blake Griffin where he likes contact at the rim. He's going to finish at the 10, and I find that part of the NBA missing. I think I like when we have bigs who go right at the rim, and he does it with such violence. I think he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, when you have that body, you might as well, right?
Right.
So, Ndamukong Suh finally added a Super Bowl win to his list of career accomplishments, and he's hoping to get the chance to run it back again next season with the Bucks. He said, "My goal is to come back and have an opportunity to go win another championship. Coach Bruce Arians said I'm not going anywhere, and he's usually a man of his word, so I look forward to the opportunity to continue to play, especially for Tampa, and I honestly believe I have a lot of elite, great talent left in me, and I'm not ready to hang them up yet." He is a free agent, and this is the one thing about the Bucks running it back that I want to pay attention to, because obviously we know how hard it is to repeat a championship. Everyone had already put it in the books of the Chiefs. We're going to repeat as champions, and we're incredible all season long. Nobody expected the Super Bowl to go the way it did. It's very hard to repeat as champions. There's a lot of Bucks free agents, not only Ndamukong Suh, but Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Lavonte David, and Leonard Fournette are all free agents this offseason.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, he's always been a little bit of his own guy. Coaches have complained through the years to me that he's kind of doing his own thing. But I will say this, Tampa team, it really is. It reminds me of the Miami Heat, where you look around and you got your leader and you're really good. And if I'm Ndamukong Suh and I can live in Tampa where I've lived before, no state tax, on a great team, it's not built around me. I'm not going to get double teamed, Joy. You'll never get double teamed anymore with Shaq Barrett and JPP. So it's a really nice space where I get one-on-one blocking. I'm not called upon to be dominant every game. I'm part of a great collective, and it's kind of a fun team. It's got a Miami Heat feel to it, where you got a Ray Allen here and a Battier and a Mike Milner and a Udonis Haslam, and they're all kind of like quirky, kind of fun guys in their own right, and they all sort of work, and they all get at this point. They've made their money. They're all in the, let's just win games and have fun. And I think Ndamukong finally found a home which fits for him.
So here's the big news that you were teasing at the top. Ben Roethlisberger has been clear that he wants to return to the Steelers for the 2021 season. And he said he's willing to restructure his contract to make that happen. But GM Kevin Colbert wouldn't fully commit to bringing Big Ben back. He said, "As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He reiterated to us that he wants to continue to play. We told him we have to look at this current situation.
Wow.
So he's only under a contract through the 2021 season. He has a $41.25 million cap hit in 2021. That's the highest of any quarterback. I think it's time to consider moving on from Ben Roethlisberger and figuring out what the future of the Steelers is. Now, he said he's willing to leave some money on the table. When you have the cap hit like that, I don't know how you expect to have anybody around you. But that is not a huge commitment by the GM there.
Oh, it's not a commitment at all. Read this again. Put that quote up for our audience. He reiterated...
As we sit here today...
Yeah.
Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
He reiterated to us that he wants to continue to play. We told him we have to look at this current situation.
Yeah, that's basically saying... They would prefer to move off him. Listen, Ben is old, expensive, feels a little brittle, and frankly, I think it's time. I don't know what everybody's afraid of. It's not like he's delivering W's in the playoffs. I mean, I get not wanting to let go of Favre at the end because you were like, okay, Brett gets us to the playoffs. You always felt like you were in a Super Bowl window. Pittsburgh's not a Super Bowl team right now. They can't run the ball. Ben makes too many mistakes. He struggles to get along with other star players on offense. You ever notice with Pittsburgh, it's great when they have stars on defense, but when you put other stars on offense, Ben struggles with them. So it's like, I don't know what's like, I would get fear in Green Bay moving off Aaron Rodgers because you always feel like you're in that window. Pittsburgh's not a Super Bowl team to me. I don't think they're as good as Baltimore. Well, at the end of the year, they're not as good as Cleveland. And I don't think, I don't know. I don't get this loyalty thing with Ben. He has disappointed you in big spots for a decade. In fact, look it up. When's the last big, true Steeler playoff win? You're from there. I can't even think of one. So, yeah, joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, here's the other thing. Like all these teams, you have to make decisions on players. And we're seeing it all over the NFL. And when you make a decision on an employee, it could be a talk show host, it could be a quarterback, it could be a lawyer in your law firm. And you get to the end of the road, and you got to pay them a lot of money. You have to ask yourself, have they truly been committed to us? Have they given everything they could? That's why I think for New England, it was going to be hard for them to move off Brady. Brady eventually moved off New England because Tom had been so committed. Robert Kraft and Belichick knew they'd never find a quarterback that committed. I mean, you can say what you want about Brady. There's never been a quarterback that won't drink a beer in Boston during the season. And I think when you look at Ben, he's never truly been committed in the offseason. That's why he's fallen apart physically. So if I'm sitting there running the organization, we've committed to him. We've gotten him players. He hasn't committed like a Breeze physically. He doesn't commit like a Russell Wilson physically. I think he's just a very limited quarterback. I've heard this for years. He has a very simplistic audible system. They've had to cater to Ben. He doesn't get along with this coach, they fire the coach. He doesn't get along with this running back, they get rid of the running back. He can't run a more sophisticated audible system, they simplify it for Ben. It's always been bending over backwards for Ben, which would be fine if I felt I was getting the ultimate payoff. When is Pittsburgh winning big playoff games? He's aged poorly because he's never been as committed as other peers in his generation. He just hasn't been. He's not as committed as Brady. He's not as committed as Breeze. I don't think he's ever been as committed as Russell Wilson early in his career. I think Pittsburgh's done everything right. They've drafted well. They've developed well. I mean, good God, he whined about a quarterback getting drafted in the fourth round years ago. I mean, they have just bent over backwards to take care of him. And he's not paying them off for that. Making the playoffs is not a payoff for an organization with the standards of Pittsburgh. That's big for Cincinnati. That's not big for Pittsburgh. So they've gone out of their way to get rid of coaches, get rid of receivers, get rid of players, get rid of anybody that's in Ben's way. what is he giving them besides raw natural talent? Headaches. The other thing I think about is that we all know there's going to be four or five quarterbacks drafted. There's also going to be, there's about four or five quarterbacks on the market right now. So let's talk about them. Carson Wentz is probably the most talented. Marcus Mariota was a backup, but he's got a lower ceiling, but he can play. Jimmy Garoppolo, various reports will be out there. Mitch Trubisky will be out there. And Sam Darnold. This news for me is really good for Sam Darnold. Because, you know, earlier today I said there's nine teams, and I wasn't even counting Minnesota, Atlanta, San Francisco. I said there's nine teams that need a quarterback. This sounds like 10. That's a third of the league. So here's the teams today. So here are the teams that need a quarterback. Jags, Jets. Jets don't need it, but they're going to draft one. Jags, Jets, Panthers, Broncos, Patriots, Washington, Bears, Colts, Saints, Steelers. So there you go. That's 10. Sam Darnold, Washington has shown interest. They've got a really good defense and a really smart veteran coach. The Colts have reportedly shown interest. Great O-line, good coach, great GM. San Francisco, I know, is interested in Darnold. And now I think Pittsburgh would make a run at him. I think he's sort of a tough alpha. He, you know, he's Bradshaw, Big Ben, Darnold. They're kind of guys. They're kind of alphas. I think he plays into that. And here's the thing with Darnold. Wentz is expensive. Darnold's not. Mariota's got a pretty low throwing ceiling. Darnold does not. Jimmy G has injuries. Darnold does not. This is really good for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to end up massively upgrading to a really good team. Either the Colts, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Washington. None of those would be bad fits. Two defensive coaches, two offensive coaches. But when I hear this news, my takeaway is Sam's going to end up somewhere. He's only 23 years old. The NFL now is much more about giving quarterbacks second chances. The reasons I stated earlier, it's become much more of a transactional league, even for quarterbacks. And secondly, GMs and coaches are just, they're just less patient. They're going to, even if they'll move off you, even if the league won't, teams will just move off you now. You didn't used to do that. It used to be there was one new quarterback that came into the league every year out of college, maybe one and a half. Now you're getting to the point where it's four and five guys that can play. So this year we got Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and Mac Jones. Mac Jones to me is too much of a pocket guy, but he'll go somewhere. If he gets a good offensive line, Mac Jones could win some games. So the Steelers general manager does not commit to Big Ben. If you're a Steeler fan, just ask yourself this if this upsets you. What are you getting for Big Ben now? What's he giving you? Getting to the playoffs doesn't mean anything for Pittsburgh. That's like saying for the Dodgers or the Yankees, oh, I made the playoffs. For the Packers, oh, I made the playoffs. You think that's the standard in Green Bay, is making the playoffs? Pittsburgh's arguably, outside of Dallas, the biggest brand in this league. Don't become Dallas. You know, don't pay players more than they, don't pay good players great money. Right now, Ben is a good player. You're paying him great money. Salary cap league, fastest way to kill a culture. Pay good players great money. By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, Dave Wannstedt was very interesting, former Bears coach. So the story on Carson Wentz is, Wentz would prefer the Colts over the Bears. Now, the Bears have a very good defense. Allen Robinson's a great receiver. They have a very innovative offensive coach. Now, they are a little brother to Green Bay in their division. But Dave Wannstedt made an interesting point, and he does radio shows, used to be the Bears coach all over Chicago, about Carson Wentz reportedly not wanting to be a Bear.
A problem with Carson Wentz that I'm told, talking to a lot of people, is his leadership ability. That he lost the team. He lost the offense. There's a presence and a communication with the quarterback in a huddle when the game's on the line that's invaluable. And I'm not hearing that about Carson Wentz. But Chicago's a tough-minded, proud city. You want to be part of it? Come on, roll your sleeves up and get ready for it. But if you don't, then go somewhere else. And I think that's the approach. I talked to someone this morning. That's pretty much where the Bears are at. We made our offer, and the Bears are exploring other quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago, as Dave said, Chicago is happy winning 10-7. They don't need to be in shootouts. So updates on Ben Roethlisberger. It doesn't appear the Steelers are making any commitment to him. I think it's time to move off. I thought it about a year ago. That's why when Pittsburgh got 11-0 this year, I didn't take them seriously. They couldn't run the football. Ben couldn't throw it over the top. Everybody in Pittsburgh was freaking out. I'm like, you're the worst 11-0 team I've ever seen in my life. And at the end of the year, you're a bad football team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
At Jersey Mike's, app is short for appetizing. Save 25% on your order with the code JMikes25, JMikes25, Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Quincy Avery is the president at Quarterback Takeover. It is an elite camp in an emerging industry on elevating quarterbacks. He is Deshaun Watson's personal coach, Jalen Hurts' personal coach. His dad was a coach in Tampa under Tony Dungy, and Quincy Avery said, I don't want to do the coaching, but I like mentoring and teaching. He also has Trey Lance, the hot prospect from North Dakota State. I didn't know Quincy Avery until 5 minutes ago, but I already love his personality, and he joins me now live. All right, so I'm gonna list some quarterbacks, Quincy, and you just tell me what you think. First of all, let's do the Philadelphia thing. Wentz is out. Jalen Hurts is the guy. His completion percentage numbers weren't great. He's a little smaller than I'd like, but he's mobile and he's active, and I love his story. Is he going to succeed in Philadelphia? What does he need to work?
I think Jalen needs to continue to improve on the little things in terms of just quarterback development, being more consistent from the pocket. But all the things that you mentioned that he's great at, that's going to allow him to be really successful and go through these like growing pains that you go through as a young quarterback in the National Football League.
Trent Dilfer helped discover you, and he's a friend of ours both. And I know he gave you a ton of trust and helped you start this thing off. We have new quarterbacks in the NFL today, all different shapes, sizes, and styles. I want to talk about a couple of young ones. Trey Lance, all I've seen is YouTube video on him. Hasn't played this year but a game. Doesn't play the greatest competition. What do you see? You're coaching him. What is he? What's his ceiling?
Trey Lance can be an all-pro quarterback for a number of years. He's so physically gifted. Like, that throw right there, it's a sail to the right. He drives it. Like, he manipulates the pocket. He's an elite runner. And people talk about the level of competition he played against. Well, let's also talk about the guys that he has on his team. Those guys aren't making great catches, like, outside of their radius, doing all the things that happen when you're at a school like Alabama and your guys are getting wide open. He doesn't have that advantage. He had to do everything the right way. And then mentally, he's so far ahead of any quarterback that I've dealt with at this stage of their career. He's asked to do so much. Rarely does their offensive staff call a complete play. They'll call half of the concept and ask Trey to do so much more. I think that when he goes into an NFL program, he's going to be somebody who can step up immediately and be the guy in the locker room. And then all the other things that make quarterbacks great, in terms of the leadership, those dynamic capabilities, he's going to be amazing at.
I'll tell you what, just on the video I'm watching here, he is athletically, he just doesn't look like other quarterbacks. Now, let's go to Zach Wilson from BYU. I saw him 2 years ago. I flipped on the TV and watched him. Very lively arm, but he's very thin. Is he ready to play day one in the league?
I think that it's going to take a bit of time before he's ready to play in the National Football League. He's twitchy. Like you said, he's electric, strong arm. He does all those things well. But also in the games this year that he had the toughest competition, like Coastal Carolina, he wasn't great. And then if you look back at the tape from the year before, he didn't have like a great showing. He did a lot of things really well when his team was much better than the opponent they were facing. So I'm really interested to see, how does it work when the level of talent that he has on the field is equal to the guys that he's going to be going against?
Justin Fields now is getting picked apart. That's what happens when you play your last game at college and you play a great team and lose. I just see an athletic kid with a big arm who made big plays against Clemson. What worries you about Justin Fields and what do you like about him?
So, like, he has a dynamic arm. He has all the running capabilities of someone like a Cam Newton or Josh Allen, right? He can add to your game, make you have to put an extra defender in the box because he can do all those things. And then his arm is strong enough to defeat you throwing the football. I think that this year when we saw him struggle a little bit, like the Northwestern game, the offense that they were in, they got a little too pass happy. And I think that's because Coach Day had so much trust in Justin and trying to figure it out. They were rushing three, dropping eight. And that's tough to be successful then. But when you see throws like this with the back shoulder throw, all those different things, he's got a chance to go to an NFL locker room and be a starter really, really quickly.
Trevor Lawrence, we've all known he's good for years. Now it's become fashionable to say, well, you know, these other guys are just as good. When you watch his tape, I still contend he looks like as good a prospect I've seen since Andrew Luck. What's the tape say, Quincy?
So he did a lot of good things. Like when you cut on the tape, all of his traits say he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Throws like that, he can throw into tight windows. He does a great job in terms of anticipating stuff, and that's what has allowed him to be so successful. He's an excellent runner, even for somebody who's 6'6", and he's a great person, and that's what's going to take him a long ways. But I think it's really hard when you go somewhere as that number one pick. It's going to be really difficult for him to be successful. So how is he going to respond when he gets to Jacksonville and they're getting beat up, and he's lost more games in year one than he's lost through his whole high school, whole college career combined? Like, I want to see how Trevor Lawrence is going to deal with adversity, but his talent, the skills that he has, that should take him a long way.
So it's interesting about young quarterbacks. Quincy Avery joining us, president at Quarterback Takeover, an elite quarterback training program. He's also Deshaun Watson's coach, and I'll get to Deshaun in a second. But quarterbacks now, because of camps like yours, are getting more snaps by 12, 13, and 14 years old than any of the previous generations have received. Here's what I worry about with all these quarterback camps is that not that they're pampered, but the quarterbacks now are sort of grooved into college and grooved into the NFL. And I kind of like my quarterback to stumble. Aaron Rodgers went to junior college, and Brady had to sit in the bench in college, and Carson Wentz had to go to some college you never heard of. Do you worry at all that all these quarterback camps like your own that are elite, is it how do you avoid pampering a kid and setting him up for the harsh reality he's going to get his head beat in for years?
Yeah, I've been saying this. In 10 years, we're going to see the most talented quarterbacks that we've ever seen. But I think the play at the position is going to be a little bit worse. And that's because these guys are going to be so coddled and so pampered from their coaches. There's a lot of guys in the industry who do what I do, who are going to pamper you and try and make you feel good and make you in every situation is going to be perfect. And they don't deal with any adversity. And like, you know, you've seen quarterbacks for a very long time. If you can't handle the adversity, when it hits you in the face and respond on Sundays, you're not going to last a very long time. And I think that we're seeing someone like Carson Wentz. This is the first time he's being hit with real adversity.
Yeah.
And we're seeing how he's handling it.
Yeah. No, Avery, this is a – Quincy Avery joining us. Quincy, this is a point that I've heard about Carson Wentz behind the scenes. He was always the biggest, strongest athlete. There was never pushback. And then Philadelphia got pushback. The media's angry. The fans are angry. And he didn't like it. And that's a reality. Now, I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. Also your client. Now, by the way, 140 of your kids at your camp have earned Division I or Division II offers. So what you're doing is working, and they're making money and having great careers. Now, Deshaun Watson's different. He is now an established NFL player. I generally think you should adhere to your contract. But in his case, I have argued he has a short shelf life. He's been the life preserver for a sinking ship for years. I get that he wants out. Where does he stand emotionally today, what he wants, and what do you think the future for Deshaun Watson is?
I think that the future, it's interesting. I think he's made it really clear in terms of what he wants to do and that he wants to be in a situation that's allow him to be in a great culture, and it's going to allow him to thrive on the football field and be successful. And I think that in large part you see the frustrations with him. And you've never heard him complain once. You've never heard him say anything about the protection he's got or the people around him or trades going on. He just goes in And he acts like a CEO every single day. He goes in and does the right thing. But I think that when you're a quarterback, you need to be put in a position where people can count on you to be a leader of an organization. And I think that that's what he wants to do.
Yeah. Finally, Big Ben's not your client. I think he's done. I thought he was done last year. I don't think it's arguable. I don't even think it's close. If your thoughts, when you watch him play as a quarterback coach, what do you see with Ben?
I see someone who's thrived in the NFL, playing off schedule, doing things not because he necessarily knew exactly what the defense was doing and could be just so disciplined and dialed in and getting the ball to the right guy on time, but he tries to extend plays. And I think as he continues to get older, the arm strength diminishes. It's just going to continue to be harder and harder for him to be successful. So I really don't know how much he has left, and it doesn't sound like the Steelers really believe like he has a ton left in the tank.
By the way, one more question. I'm a fan of Sam Darnold, but I acknowledge that he's reckless and some of his injuries are his fault. Do you buy Darnold? Do you still think he's legitimately a quarterback in this league?
I think that Sam Darnold is one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks that we have in the NFL. So he has the talent. Is he going to do all the right stuff in terms of discipline, in terms of being smart with the ball? Because the number one factor in a quarterback's success is like, how do they take care of the ball and how do they take care of themselves? And if he can do those two things, I think he can extend his career quite a bit.
Wow, you like him too. Quincy Avery, president at Quarterback Takeover, an elite quarterback training program. I loved your story, sleeping on the air mattress for 3 years at UCLA until you got a chance. You said, I don't want to coach, but I want to be in kids' lives. And 140 of your kids who you've trained with at Quarterback Takeover have earned scholarships and made millions of dollars. I just want to thank you, Quincy. I'd love to have you on again, and good luck to you.
Kyle, I really appreciate you having me on. Look forward to it anytime.
You bet. Thank you, Quincy Avery. By the way, he likes Sam Darnold, too. You guys always push back on that. Colin, you're very pro Sam Darnold. I just had an expert on. What'd the expert say? He's one of the most physically gifted guys in the NFL. I've had enough of the back talk on Sam Darnold. From this point forward, he's good, and that's just the way it is. No more arguing. All right, I'm done for today. For Joy and everybody else, I want to thank Brock Huer, Dave Wannstedt, Antoine Walker was great, Quincy Avery. We'll get Bruce Arians tomorrow live in Los Angeles. Speak for yourself around the corner. This is The Hurt.